Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Thursday. Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor. I'm Michelle Fiché, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Rice. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is August 28th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now, let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and experiencing forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady. I appreciate the introduction, and thank you for filling in for Jeannie. Ari is getting ready to hit the road, and so Jeannie has taken over the kitchen, and ties it up on a whole other level with the intensive. So we thank Jeannie for her willingness to step into that role. Which is, she has an awesome job of it, but it's not necessarily her favorite one. So thanks for plugging in and handling the switchboard so she's free to do that. She's down in the kitchen washing basil, fresh basil. We have a neighbor here that grows some of the most awesome basil. And so she's down there washing basil right now to make a basil dressing for our salad. And we appreciate everybody who joins us every day that you join us to take this work farther and farther afield. We are in the middle of, if you haven't been with us recently, in the middle of a 16-day Laws of Living. We'll look forward to seeing you, Michelle, on Monday for the intensive. And we are just rocking. The energy is moving. Things are really just rolling along very powerfully. So we're blessed, and blessed that each of you chooses to join us. And Dr. Tim had texted me earlier today saying that he wanted to pick up on some of the material that we covered yesterday in the show as a topic for today's show. So I'm just going to turn it over to Dr. Tim and see what I'm excited and interested to see what you've got to say, Dr. Tim. How do you be?
I am well. Am I on?
You are.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Just finishing up another call, and I texted you because I had just finished a worksheet and done some processing about our interactions yesterday, and found that I was quite triggered, and I felt it at the time, but it wasn't clear what was going on. And then I had a very full day, and I ended up going to sleep at about 10:30 without having done the worksheet. And I woke up and I had difficulty breathing. And it was a feeling similar to getting punched in the solar plexus and having the wind knocked out of me.
Really? Wow.
And so I had a breakfast business meeting that started at 6:30 that I had to run. So I ran that business meeting and finished at 9, and then came over to the office and cleared what I needed to do so I could do the worksheet prior to getting on another business call at 10. And the interaction that happened yesterday was talking about the less than specific forgiveness process that is outlined in the book Disappearance of the Universe. And the let's see how I'm trying to piece together the where the insight came in. At one point, we were talking about how the piece that comes out that I read from the Disappearance of the Universe doesn't mention canceling the goals and what you refer to as the core of the forgiveness process. And then you went on and talked about someone who took the work, created a book, created a website, but didn't include the goal canceling or the core of the forgiveness process. And right. And then you said at one point it would be good, or you said it would be fun when you come to town to find one of these people who has been practicing this other forgiveness process for a good long while and they think it's benefiting them, and to put them in a situation where their issues are triggered and then et cetera. And that was the point at which I got triggered. Ooh. And I could feel the pressure in my chest and the difficulty breathing. And so as I replayed later in the day yesterday, I went back and listened to the show to try and remember what it was that triggered me. And that's when I heard the words again and your energy behind the words. You know, it would be fun to find one of these people who's been practicing this other technique for years and think it really benefits them and put them in a situation where they get triggered. And again, the difficulty breathing came up. So today I did the worksheet, and Dr. Michael Rice is the person in 1A. I chose to do the 12-step worksheet this morning because I particularly like a couple of the sentences in there that aren't in the new 7-step, including the line that says, "The truth is my reality is strictly internal, unique to me, and is created out of my own thoughts." And then the one where it says, "With blame I hide my power." And when I do this in the worksheet, in the group, I say, does anybody understand what the power is that I'm hiding with blame? And then we go back and read the line that says, the truth is, my reality is strictly internal, it's unique to me, and created out of my own thoughts. So if I blame anybody else for my reality, I've hidden my power to create my own reality.
Right.
And the interaction was summarized in my worksheet as Michael seemed to want to challenge others to prove that his forgiveness process is right. My feelings triggered by this situation are fear, sick, and upset. Because it really felt like a churning in my stomach yesterday, and by the time I woke up this morning, it felt like the wind knocked out of me. My thought was, Michael wants to intimidate others and me. And my thought for punishment was just to avoid, to not discuss it. And thankfully, my physiology said, no, you're not going to avoid this. You're not even going to be able to breathe. Unless you process this, you're not even going to be able to breathe. So setting up, reading through the rest of the worksheet, breathing, holding the space of love, holding my images of my sons, etc., that really gets that energy rolling in me, the loving energy, and then choosing loving thoughts for Michael. He's devoted to love, and a loving thought for me that I'm doing my best, and then choosing the goal to have Michael be more sensitive and accepting of others, and then realizing the forgiveness process means I have to pay attention to the fact that the first casualty of desire is the truth, and if I want Michael to change, I'm not going to be able to see the truth. So I cancel my goal for Michael to be more sensitive and accepting of others, and I ask Ruka to show me the hidden part of my mind that's actually creating my fear. And I breathed, and I had gotten a flash right away when I started doing the release that this was about bullying. And so I breathed, and my difficulty breathing got worse. And I literally felt like I'd been punched in the solar plexus. And what came back to me was an actual event when I was 14 years of age, and I was physically beaten by a bully and his friend. And it took me at least 20 minutes to recover my breath because I had the wind knocked out of me. I had probably a minor concussion. I had, you know, bruises, and I couldn't quit crying, but I couldn't catch my breath. It was in that sobbing, crying, can't catch breath for a good long time. I had people move me to another space, and that's the full memory of that trauma came up, and the bullies thinking this is great fun. So there was the tie-in. When Michael said, you know, it would be fun to find somebody who's done this other work for a good long while and they think it's really helping them. And my thought was, that wouldn't be fun at all. That would be challenging, intimidating, embarrassing. And those were all of the things that I had experienced when I was 14 and this bully and his friend laughing while they beat me up.
Right.
So I kept breathing and let the tears come and breathe through it. And by the time I opened my eyes again and sat up, I was breathing probably 80% of a normal breath. And there was still a little bit of that discomfort in the solar plexus, but it was greatly reduced. So I breathed through that work and willingly said I would continue to face and process out. If I still have difficulty breathing, if I have more pains come up, I'm willing to feel them. And I became aware, so I wrote when I came out of it, that I now feel calmer and stronger. And I see that I had layers of pain and shame from past bullying that still need to be worked through. And I set the loving goal in the last step of the worksheet to continue to dismantle my fear, pain, and shame so that I can hold love and be more accepting of you, Michael, as the goal in number one, as the subject of number one, and others. And I breathed, and then my upset level had gone from 8 to maybe a 1. So I was feeling much more calm and much more strong. And as I kept breathing, the difficulty breathing, the sensation in the solar plexus, went down to nothing. And I thought, well, that's a good worksheet, and I really need to share that.
Awesome. Pretty powerful stuff. Those old Buddha brain cells are pretty amazing in what they bring forward, aren't they?
Yeah, it was very, and I was much, one of the pieces that came up for me in the processing and the tears coming is that on the show yesterday, I began by saying, you know, I don't really know anybody who's done this other work because I've only got introduced to it a couple weeks ago. And then a few minutes later, I heard myself say, well, you know, there was this one guy. And I thought, I had been deeply triggered at that point. And in the review and the release, the tears were coming up because I realized when I said yesterday there was this one guy, I was basically trying to side with the bully to say, yeah, let's go pick on this other guy so you don't have to pick on me. And the truth is, the image of the person in my mind who has come to your sessions in the past and who was at this seminar 2 weeks ago characterizes how innocent, how loving, and how gentle I was when I was 14. And I came out of the release realizing I would not introduce you to him and say, let's see if we can put him in a stressful situation where his stuff gets triggered and then see if his stuff works, because that would be acting out by offering somebody else up to a difficult situation that I wouldn't want to be in myself. And so that was another piece of clarity that came from the release. This person that I met again 2 weeks ago is so gentle, so soft-spoken, so tender in his intentions and emotions that it reminded me of myself at 14, even though I was 6'2" and 190 pounds at 14. I was not a toned athlete. I still had the baby fat on me. I was like baby Huey without the strength. And I recognized the dynamic in me yesterday by saying, oh, well, there was this one guy, was basically just to deflect what I was going through at the time and to offer somebody else up and to side with the bully.
Of course, I would inject there that the perception is that there's a bully involved. I'd invite the awareness that there wasn't one, but that maybe that's the perception. For me, the space that I was very clearly coming from, we had just talked about the fact that my take, on the process that was being used is that it would not open the dissociated mind, and that's where the real forgiveness occurs. So for me, the fun would be that to see if using the canceling of the goal, using the Aramaic forgiveness process, would open another layer and another level of healing. The reality in my mind had no implication of bully or any of the other words that describe what might go on for him in your perception. To me it was, here's a place where we can do a test and see if, in fact, there is another level that will open for somebody in the process of healing. Any thoughts?
Well, it's certainly your words and your tone and your energy today certainly strikes me different than it did yesterday, and whether that's a result of the space opening up in me because I did my worksheet or the energy shifting for you having heard about my worksheet, I couldn't tell you which is which.
Yeah.
But I would agree with what you're saying today, that your energy is much more loving. It's the energy that I get from your words and your tone today is much more loving than the energy I got from your words and tone yesterday. And, of course, I was already triggered, so I'm not a good perceiver or judge of what the energy was like coming off of you yesterday. This was a big trigger for me. And
I got it.
Clearly that huge trauma from 14 where the bullies laughed as they beat me. and they thought it was fun. So I have all this emotion coming up now, so I'm going to breathe a minute.
Well, it would be interesting if you had the space to go back and listen to that section again.
I did. I did twice already. Listen, Michael, I'm trying to breathe a little here. So when I try to say the words, it would be fun. Then once again, here's another layer coming up for me. That those bullies were laughing as they beat me. So what your energy was like yesterday, I can't tell you because I was so deeply triggered.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go back and listen to it and give me feedback, that would be wonderful. I think your energy has shifted today from what it was yesterday, and for that I'm grateful for the support as I process this.
Well, I'm delighted to be the support. And my invitation is, if you have the space, to, you know, just listen to that section that really triggered that and see if, now that post what you processed, if in fact it was energy coming off of me or if it was energy projected from what was triggered. Because for me, I'm really clear. I mean, I am excited at every opportunity to bring forgiveness to another level, to another mind, to another space on the planet. And for me yesterday, I'm also really clear that it was about being able to see and compare if there's another level that opens with that particular piece of the puzzle. Because I think just before I said that those words that were the big trigger, I think I had just said, if I'm remembering correctly, that I felt like the process that they had shared that you had read would in no way, shape, or form open the dissociated mind. And to me, if it did, then I'd like to know it. And if it doesn't, then I think it would be fun for somebody who's, and what I was thinking in terms of somebody who's been successful with that work, and see if there's another level to open. To me, that's pretty exciting stuff. And no way, shape, or form is there any concept of we're going to embarrass anybody or bully anybody with that. To me, it would be offering another level and layer of support, especially if it's someone who's done our work before because they're already familiar with the canceling process, to put that into a situation where there is an issue and see if there's another level. To me, that's pretty exciting stuff. And for me, clearly where I was coming from yesterday.
All right, then.
And I think it's awesome that we're having this conversation.
Well, there might be a time, if I keep doing enough worksheets, where I have that same perspective on that kind of confrontation.
Say that again, Tim. I didn't quite hear you.
I said there might be a time, if I keep doing enough worksheets, where I have that same kind of perspective on that kind of confrontation.
Mm. Are you putting the category of the conversation we've just had as a confrontation?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not the one today, the one yesterday. When I got triggered, it was clearly about an old confrontation with a bully.
Ah. Right.
So everything about that yesterday, once I got triggered, was interpreted to the filter of fear and pain and shame.
Yeah. Well, and I am certainly delighted and excited that that's open for you, because I know that from what you've described, your lungs are going to open and function on a whole other level. If there was that much suppressed trauma that's been there that long, that very likely, what excites me about the conversation we're having now is that very likely, and having had a lot of lung issues myself and almost died from them several times, it's pretty exciting that the long-term effect of that energy locked in that tissue will never turn into degeneration, because you've embraced it, healed it, brought it forward, instead of left it resident there. To me, that's pretty exciting. And I've had people, you know, I think you've probably heard me say this in intensives or on the show, but I love to watch people in the depth of their trauma and pain, because what I know is when people go into the depth of their trauma and pain and the active space of love is there, they're going to come out the other side healed. I've had people say, well, are you some kind of a sadist that you like to watch people in pain? It's like, no, I know the freedom. I know the liberty. I know the stories they're going to tell me tomorrow, 2 years from now, 10 years from now, about the changes in their lives, because they confronted that energy and moved it out. And to me, that's the power of this show. And what I love about the fact that we're having this conversation is everybody who's on the show gets to experience directly the real live thing, and there's nothing more powerful than the real live thing of healing. And I think the fact that we're modeling at this point a conversation of two sane adults processing an issue in a way that most of the world has never seen. You know, I appreciate the fact that you, one, texted me and asked if it was okay to go ahead and do, and it was like, absolutely, yes, let's go for the real thing. And that that everybody who's listening to the show gets to hear the real thing. And those realities come up, and the energy comes up. And when we forgive them, tissue heals. You know, we were talking yesterday, and you know, one of the things that preceded the conversation was part of the conversation with the two people here who literally came with a cane and a walker that aren't using them anymore. And that's pretty powerful. So that, for me, is the exciting part of it, and, you know, this community that's developing around this show and around this work is, to me, so empowering in that regard, and I certainly appreciate the important part of the community that you are, because most people probably wouldn't bring it up. So I'm delighted that you have.
Well, I appreciate the support as I peel through another layer of a trauma that happened quite a few years ago.
Yeah, those moments of the loss of innocence are some of the heaviest ones to move through, for sure.
Yeah, that certainly was one of the hallmark times in high school for that loss of innocence, as you say.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when we look at, you know, one of the questions we often ask is, how many remember when they knew the world was supposed to be different in the way it's functioning for us today? And everybody that puts their hand up when I ask them, you know, it's like this, it's basically the same question as who's held a newborn child. Everybody's answer when you ask them, what do you remember knowing, if you do remember? And it was about that innocence and that love, that presence of love, and the kind of interaction that takes place from that. And to me, that is a great offending energy when it's taken on and covers that up, when it hides that from us. And I, for one, am here to continuously encourage and empower and support people, peeling off every layer so we go back to original innocence. And, of course, one of the gateways that one has to go back through to do that is the power person dynamic of the rage at having given up the direct connection to love. That's such a huge piece, and to move back through that one. And it sounds to me like you just moved through a big piece of it.
Well, that that piece about disconnecting from love, there was probably a piece of that in the release, because I remember having an image of rage at the coach that reprimanded me for getting in a fight after this bully and his friend beat me from behind without me raising a hand to him. So there's probably some of that. You know, if I was feeling very loving and innocent at the time, and I had rage triggered in me, I was certainly not staying connected to love and thinking about the bully and the coach that reprimanded me. So that was one of several other worksheets I made a note to continue to do as I process this work.
Well, I think the moment that, you know, I believe that as humans we're designed to function totally, literally, cellularly plugged into the active presence of love. And when that is removed, when we lose awareness of that, when we give up that connection and that cellular experience, I believe that is the root of the most intense rage that anyone will ever experience, and it is the root of every disease, every disorder, every trauma, every moment of poverty that anyone will ever experience. And it's possible that there was the, you know, if that was one of the points where there was that original disconnect from love. And from what you've said about your family system, you have pretty good support for staying connected to that. Then maybe some of that rage pointed at the coach came from the fact that that experience had just disconnected you, or at least in awareness, overlaid the cellular experience of love, and the pain of that, the just the sheer there really isn't a word big enough. Trauma of that is monumental. So I certainly hold the space for you and for me and for anyone and everyone on the planet who's ever given up that connection to love to be able to go back through that gate. You know, if you read in the scriptures, the story symbolically that they talk about is how, you know, when we left heaven, God, and of course God's always to blame, always got to find somebody else to blame, but God put these cherubim and fierce creatures there so we couldn't go back. I think the fierce creatures are of our own making. It's our own rage and pain that we need to go back through. It's nothing that, you know, God didn't put up a block to going back to that original innocence. But what we need to go back through is the terror and the trauma of that original disconnect. And it's huge. I've only, in all the years I've been doing this, I've only seen maybe 3 or 4 people go back through that piece. And it's the deepest sobbing, the deepest body shuddering, more than I can describe with words when it happens for somebody. So maybe canceling that goal for the coach might facilitate another piece of that one being dissolved, if there's any of it left.
Well, I will certainly continue and do worksheets on it, and I'm feeling fairly complete for the moment, so I thank you for your support. If you want to see if there are hands up or anything in the chat room. And
awesome. Well, you have my support and my huge appreciation for the willingness to bring it forward. It's huge, huge appreciation. Thank you. So, Michelle, young lady, do we have anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or do we have anyone with a hand up in the phone to you with a question?
Yeah, we've got a couple people with their hands up and a conversation in the chat room with several people. There's a gal here from Alaska. Her name is Angela, and I guess she was at Heartland earlier this summer doing Y.
Just a few weeks ago, yes.
So I guess she's off work with some respite and so listening to the phone, and I invited her comments or questions, and she said it is an amazing discussion and is holding a space of love for Dr. Tim. And just...
And Michael, I hope.
Well, actually, Michael, we were talking about that we mutually experienced being triggered with fear and anxiety sometimes when we're with you. So I just admire Dr. Tim today for really having the courage to move through that process with the object of its trigger, and that is such a wonderful role model for myself and for our listeners. I think it's one of those archived, you know, special shows moments.
Well, wait a minute now, Michelle. You mean you think there's actually someone, there's been another time that someone's had to do a worksheet on me besides this one with Dr. Tim? No.
No,
really?
Dr.
No,
Tim,
couldn't be.
He's so calm, cool, collected, you know, eloquent, well-spoken, well-versed, experienced. And today was the first time I ever heard him cry. And so it was neat. Dr. Tim, thank you.
Powerful.
No, I think Jeannie's done some worksheets now and then, maybe.
I don't think she's ever had to do one on me. No. Couldn't be.
Actually, Michael, I was kind of curious if while Dr. Tim was doing his process, if anything came up for you.
Yeah, actually, I'm planning to do a worksheet because there's an old issue for me that popped, and it's one that I've visited many times over the years. It's been a while since I've had to visit it, but I plan to, and that is that of being misunderstood. Misinterpreted. So yes, I'm going to do some work around that aspect of the conversation.
Awesome. I understand that one myself. And Angela came back and she said, "Michelle, let him know I'm holding a space of love for Michael too." So
Angela, I love the picture that you sent me of that awesome meal that you created out of your Heartland experience and out of the Rossamy's book.
Yeah, she sounded like she had a really good experience here all the way from Alaska. So there are a couple people with a hands up. I think we've got about 20 minutes left. Rex, we're going to have to put you on hold because area code 630 was first, but they just disappeared. So hopefully they call back, and I guess we'll say hi to Rex first. Hi.
Well, hello there.
How are you?
Very welcome.
I'm doing wonderful. I'm going to set my dish down, go outside so I can do this with silence. It's kind of a lot of people out here, too, so we'll see how it works. Yeah, there's more people out here than there was inside. Okay.
Maybe you go out on the side deck.
Well, we'll see how it works.
You sound fairly quiet, Rex. What's happening?
Well, wonderful. I appreciate you, Dr. Tim and Michael, for being open and receptive to the experience. And yeah, Tim, when you were in your deepest part there, when some emotion was coming up, I felt also resonated and triggered because I was bullied a fair amount I wasn't a big kid. I was a little kid. In ninth grade, I weighed about 78 pounds and really small. I was about 5 foot. And I got beat up pretty bad when I was 14 as well, interestingly, and then made a commitment that, as I'm sharing it, a little bit more is coming up, so that's good. I made a commitment. Hold on, let me move to another space. Yeah, try it in here again. I made a commitment at that time to never, ever, I stood in front of a mirror and with blood streaming down my face, I made a commitment to never let anybody lay a hand on me again without fighting back. And it was linked.
Correct.
Yes. Say it again, Michael.
How did that invitation work?
Well, how it played itself out is I never let anybody beat me again without beating them up. That's how it played itself out. It's like, as a little guy, I can be a little feisty, and I learned how to defend myself, and I was a wrestler and so on and so forth. But essentially what I did is I took that emotional, impactful experience and made a commitment to myself in such a way that was based in rage. And the commitment was that I would never let anybody touch me without in a violent way, without retaliating. And it was all about bullying. I mean, I was being bullied, but I had also invited it. Not like you, Tim. I don't know whether you did or not, but I did in that setting. And the experience I had was very traumatic, and it was years later that I accessed that more clearly. I apologize for the background noise. I'll try to go outside again. Just moving from one state to the next to see if I can stay without the background noise. At any rate, I experienced deep, deep pain after I had really beaten some people up that had attacked me. And I kind of egged them on, and I had that in my field, you know, for someone to try to pick on me so that I could prove that I was no longer going to tolerate that type of behavior, which was really not very pleasant to live with. And it was a blessing when I released all that and I let go of the idea that I had to strike someone who may strike me. And it may still have some, it obviously has some more work and release, but that was triggered in me. And what came up while Tim was talking about that experience with you, Michael, that you resonated in him, one thing that has been incredibly forthright in my consciousness and in my space is that if I'm upset, I cannot perceive accurately. And I appreciate you, Tim, saying that so clearly, that you stated that you knew that Michael was saying the things he was saying. And at first it was like, you know, you're not sure. He seems different today and he seemed different yesterday and so on and so forth. But then you came back and you owned it and you said, I don't know what he was doing energetically because in my experience, I was so in my stuff I couldn't see. And that is so crucial to recognize in the healing process. Because if I'm caught in an unconscious place, if I have caught myself in an unconscious place or I am in a reaction, I cannot perceive accurately. And any of the data that I'm retrieving from my mind is coming from fear or hostility, and I cannot perceive accurately. And it's a beautiful place to be, and it's a powerful place to be in healing. And the other piece that I had that I would like to share is ever since I got clearer on that piece on being bullied, I recognized in so many different spaces that I would actually bully people. And it wasn't through a physical, I'm going to beat you up bully. It would have been through anger at times. But even then when I refined it more, what I did is I would bully people when I thought I was right. And I would say things and do things to prove that I was right. And because I have a certain level of charisma and articulation, and I could overpower people with my voice and the sound and you know, the power that I've come to recognize inside me, I would use that in a way that would be to overpower that conversation or to, and I just recognize that it is bullying. And once I started seeing that, I was able to soften and release that trauma and the pain that I felt around that. And a lot of it is I felt bullied by my father in that same way. That was my power person dynamic. So it came out and expressed itself when I did that. And one of the ways that was really helpful for me to get clear on it is I would actually step back and I'd say, when somebody would say to me, well, you're being too loud, you're verbal, you're bullying. You know, they wouldn't use that word, but it was the connotation behind it. And what I would do is I would step back and say, how do I feel about being accused of being a bully? How do I feel about being accused of being a bully, and what do I think about that? And it allowed me to look at some qualities in me that I was trying to be right. And I, the reason I was so set on needing to be right and having to be right is because I felt deep down inside I may be wrong, and that I actually was wrong. So those are the pieces that I wanted to share today, and I find it fascinating that the topic of bullying is coming up again. I know that surfaced in our intensive, and I'm inclined to think it'll probably come up again. So great job, Tim and Michael, and I appreciate the listening. And if there's anything I've said right now that either of you or anyone has feedback on that might help me, support me in my healing process, I am totally open to it.
Well, the first piece of input that I have, Rex, is to, and I don't know if you heard the way I languaged my question to you, but my question was, how did that invitation work out for you? Because when you think of it in terms of regulatory speech, it was an invitation to bullies. Nobody's ever going to lay a hand on me again, and I'll fight back. Is lay a hand on me again, the energetic dynamic. And so if you haven't looked at that or thought of it from that point of view, that might be a good word seed, and let the last vestiges of that go, for sure. And the other thing that comes that might be a worksheet you might do for yourself and the journey is that the whole challenge or journey running into the issues that he did started with him being beat up and bullied.
Yeah, I will. That's a good insight. Yep, because that's related to what started appeared to start his whole process of the 4 years through the mental health system when he was attacked and obviously bullied, you know, beat up by a gang. And how did the invitation go? Let me answer that because now I understand what you're asking more clearly. The invitation went in such a way that I had a guy that was kind of he was a big kid and he was bullied, and he actually kind of egged him on a little bit. I didn't really like him. It was in high school. And he said he was going to beat me up, and I said, yeah, whatever. And I just ignored it. Well, he called me out in front of about 300 people in a lunchroom. So we went outside, and I proceeded to beat him to a pulp. And that experience was not ideal, obviously. But at the time, it was amazing, and I had gone through, this was my junior year in high school, and up to that point, I could relate to Roger Dangerfield, that I just don't get no respect, you know, that one, and that was the experience I had, and from the minute I had that happen, and it was just, it was quite an emotional, traumatic event, I just never had anybody else pick on me again in high school. So the message was sent to my mind that that was actually a constructive thing. I stood up for myself, and what I've learned since then, that that wasn't. It was reinforcing the rage. It was reinforcing that it's healthy to attack someone or even defend apparently by attack. Because there's ways I could have gone around that. I could have just, well, who knows what I could have done. That would have been looking back and trying to make it different, which I'm fine with
right.
that happening because I've learned so much from it. But as far as that goes, since then, you know, Michael, it's been how the invitation ended up being is that I think it was a part of that process that people wouldn't give me feedback. I think it worked in the reverse. Rather than resonating that people would come and attack me, it was that they didn't feel safe attacking me, or not even attacking me, but just giving me input and feedback. So I'm not seeing it specifically that I would be attacked by someone directly like I had put out, or that I would have to do it through violence. It worked in just the opposite, I think. But I'll definitely give that some more heartfelt consideration, and I again acknowledge you, Tim, for opening your heart and your mind and bringing that to our attention in this conversation. And as you know, brother, I support you in your healing process, and I'll continue to hold the space of love as you continue to grow and heal.
Thank you. It's appreciated.
And Rex, I definitely support you in clearing that frequency out of your genetics, totally, completely, 100%.
Hey, men and women.
Yeah, yeah, for all of the above.
Rex, you know what's so fabulous is I'm sharing the radio show today with a client, and she's very new to the work, and it's amazing because her father was a bully and her husband is a bully, and you know, now she's in her seventh decade and she's finally willing to heal it. And I'm so excited because this resonates so deeply with her. So thank you both. Mark, what do you think?
Well, we hold the space, young lady. And I'm talking to that young lady in her seventh decade. We hold the space for all of that healing.
Thank you. What a privilege to be able to. This is the second show I've been able to listen to, and I am most appreciative. Thank you.
Well, you're certainly most welcome to join us 5 days a week for the rest of eternity.
Thank you.
Maybe I should bring her down to Heartland on Monday.
There you go.
Mark?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, we can hear you loud and clear. Welcome.
Hey, thanks a lot. I was the 630 and I dropped
here.
Yeah, right. I know. Well, it's interesting because we were talking a little bit about bullying on our call this morning, so it was really just resonant that we're all in tune with this. So I'm going to offer a different perspective. I'm the guy who was the bully when I was a kid. And I realized it in the last few weeks as I was working through my own bullying energy, because I've been bullied, but I've also been the bully. When someone's bullying, they can't hear. So the people around them who want to give them feedback tend to give up and stop providing the feedback because they're not listening anyway. And so they're kind of this give-up process. And when I realized that I was bullying my own self and my family, I started to back down and started to listen. But it took sometimes two or three people to tie me down, if you will, and say, are you hearing what we think we're saying? And so
right.
that happened on our call today where I was paying attention. I'm like, Brea, what did you hear? Tim, what did you hear? Rex, what did you hear? And when I heard it from three different people the same way, I'm like, okay, then I'm listening. And so now I've got to learn that the person in front of me is a reflection of the divine, and whatever they say, I need to listen to with an open heart and discern whether it's appropriate for me to act on or not, but I was getting triggered a lot by my bullying energy. When I cleared it, I started to open up and listen, and that's what it takes for a bully to start listening, or at least that's what it took for me. It takes sometimes multiple people saying, hey, you're being a bully or you're not listening. And so I wanted to add on just a slight amount to what was said earlier from Tim. And I was hearing a little bit of the bullying in the conversation on the call yesterday. I went back and listened to it just a little bit. And so I'd encourage everybody who wants to hear what that sounds like to listen to it, but listen to it with a filter that is from love and hear how it does sound different. Because, Michael, your explanation was so clear. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Even though I heard it my way, I heard it through my bully filter, too, you weren't bullying at all. You were just trying to be loved. You're just trying to get, like you said, get to the answer, get the workout. But our filters just kind of can skew things sometimes. So I recognize that and acknowledge it, and I forgive and release that energy in me that skewed it and let that go. And I'm going to promise and commit to everyone on the show today that from now on with my family and with the people around me, I'm going to listen a lot more. So that's all I want to say.
I genuinely
have to. Thank you.
All right. Cool.
And I'll join you in.
With everybody here too.
You have a good show, Michael. Thank you very much.
I feel so blessed that we have this gathering of minds that are about healing. And the fact that we've got all this in archives for eternity to make available to all of the generations to come, to me, it's pretty awesome.
And I guess we know the title of this one.
Why are they doing this to me again? Well, we're down to about 2 minutes, so maybe you guys could give us a quick report on the Ruka group and what's happening.
Sure. I'm not sure if the other guys are still on, so I'll just jump into it since there's not a lot of time.
Go for it.
Well, we're building an organization that's bringing the work into corporate America. If ever there was an opportunity, it's in corporate America to bring this work. And we're doing it in a way that's really open and genuine and reflective of how they can hear and receive the message. So we're not using the exact worksheets and materials the way Michael has them laid out, but we're taking all that work and building upon it so that a corporate executive can hear it in their words, in their language. And so far, we've had some great success. We coached a few dozen different people as individuals, and it looks like we don't have to sign paperwork, and we haven't started the coaching actually yet, but it looks like we're going to win our first big contract with a college, College of Lake County here in the area. The president's bringing us in to coach them. And so we're going to be coaching their executive team and stuff, and you know, some of those folks. I probably shouldn't have said the name of them, but it's pretty much ready to go. And we're excited about that.
Congratulations. And that's awesome.
Yeah, we're thinking that that's going to be the launch pad to really do more of this and open it up to other people in the Chicago area and the Lansing area and really all around the world, because we have a vision that this could be a really phenomenal organization and on a scale that would be commensurate with how the work needs to get out to the world right now.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. You absolutely have my support, and we are down to the last few seconds, so I'm going to need to close the show out, post it as things unfold, and we invite everybody to bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Take a look. October 31st, we've got an intensive happening up in Michigan, and then we'll be in Florida in April, so keep on the schedule and create the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.